Hello?
There you go.
Today I'm reading Romans 12, 4 through 8. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Welcome once again to the Living Water Church. Last week, we kind of took a detour away from the sermon series that I've been talking about for me to be able to share about my trip that I recently took to Africa and talking about the persecuted church. And then we started talking a little bit about the persecution that we all face here in the U.S. And one of the challenges as a pastor when you're preaching is that you kind of have this pressure to preach in a certain amount of time. You know, if it's too short, it becomes a devotional, doesn't really feel like a sermon. If it's too long, some people feel tortured on the worship service. And so we try to keep it kind of concise as we're trying to communicate what God has given to us. And sometimes when you're doing that, you just miscommunicate an idea that you don't mean to communicate. And that happened last Sunday. And so I had a conversation with a couple people this last week, and they just kind of felt like I was unfair in how I portrayed one of the topics that I was preaching about on Sunday. And it was on this idea that we have this challenge in our country where young people are starting to see that it's justified to have violence if you disagree with that person's belief system. And the particular study that I mentioned was a study that happened to say that there was a large portion of those who are on the left, who are college students, that have this challenge. They're starting to believe these things. And what I didn't do was just kind of balance that a little bit to say it's not just a left issue, it is also a right issue. We obviously have challenges in all the political spectrum of people who take some extreme positions when they don't agree with somebody who they are talking to. And so I just want to be sure to just kind of highlight the fact that this is not just a one-party problem. This is a challenge that cuts across all political spectrums in our country. And so one of the thoughts that kind of got cut from my sermon, because it was just kind of a longer sermon as I was talking about Africa before I got into persecution, is this idea that brothers and sisters in Christ on the left side of politics and brothers and sisters in Christ on the right side of politics all need to take ownership of getting more involved and trying to bring down the temperature of the conversations that we become involved with when it comes to politics. You know, we are all desperately needed as salt and light in whatever political party we align with, whether we're a Republican or a Democrat or an Independent, Green Party, Tea Party, Progressive Party, or Libertarian, or any of the others that are out there. We all need to be involved in helping to begin to diffuse some of this tension that's been built up over the last, I don't know, 20 years or so. And so if you haven't felt that tension, maybe it's like that's not really part of my circle that I go in, well, just go to YouTube and watch some of the debates that are happening on college campuses across the country. I mean, there are a lot of different groups that go into campuses and they put these out and they have these discussions, and you find, man, there is a lot of anger. There's a lot of resentment. There's a lot of just we're so divided in our country. And it's just kind of scary because the anger is getting stronger. And the problem is if we can't learn to talk to each other when we disagree in politics, if we can't have this conversation, if we start to believe that one side is the enemy instead of the principalities and powers in the spiritual realm being the enemy, then we're destined to head towards a civil war type situation, and that is not what we want in our country. And so, of course, the problems in our country, the anger that we have, the overtop violence that's happening, it's not just a political problem, is it? It really, if you get at the heart of it, it's a spiritual problem. And we truly do have the answer to this that the world needs to hear. We have the gospel of Jesus. We have his message of grace and love and forgiveness and learning to follow the ways of God and his will and how that brings peace and joy and just how it just makes life so much better when we live in the parameters of what his guidelines are in Scripture. And so my goal really is to lift up Jesus. That's my goal as your pastor. And I let the Holy Spirit kind of convict individuals spiritually, politically, whatever changes would need to take as we look at these spiritual problems. But if you ever have any questions about something that I had to say in Scripture, in my sermons, sometimes I get going and I totally skip sections, believe it or not. It's why I write down what I need to say, because I tend to wander and then I lose myself in all of that. But feel free to give me a call. I really appreciate the two people who had conversations with me so that I could understand that was a feeling that some felt, and then I could address that issue. If you ever feel like I'm being unfair or maybe I've said something inaccurately, call me up. We'll sit down and have a conversation, because I really don't want this spirit of offense to take over what can happen. That's such a challenge when that gets set up in a church. And so we need to have that space to have those conversations. Okay, so let's move on to today's subject as we go back to our sermon series, Impact. Talking about the power of a significant life, the impact we can have. So go ahead, if you got your message notes, grab those. And when we think about making an impact in this life, the truth is, just by ourselves, you know, there's kind of a limit to what we can do on our own, all alone. You know, we'll probably never have the kind of impact that will change the world all by ourselves. You know, that kind of impact that God desires for our life to have. And so if you want to have this big impact, it really does require a team, a group of people. It requires you to have people around you, people are going to support you and encourage you, that are going to challenge you, maybe disagree with you, you know, that are going to lead you and other times follow you, that are going to pray for you and love you. Impact. It's really like a team sport. It's not just something you do on your own, because without a team, you know, you're just not going to have that impact that God might want to have through you. And so let's just think about the NFL football for a moment. Okay, if you can remember back 3 years ago, February 2022, you know, the Rams and the Bengals, they were in the Super Bowl. And if you can remember, the quarterback of the Rams, anyone remember who that was? Matthew Stafford, right? He used to be one of ours, and then he got traded, and he wasn't anymore. And so he'd only been their quarterback for 1 year. Before that, he played with the Detroit Lions for 12 years. And in those 12 years with the Detroit Lions, he never won a single playoff game. But then he goes to the Rams. Not winning a single playoff game in his career, he goes on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, how does that happen? It's because, as painful as it might be for us, in Detroit, great quarterbacks don't win the Super Bowl, great teams do. And the greatest quarterback in the NFL are not the quarterbacks necessarily who are playing on the field in the Super Bowl game. So when you think about the greatest teams in the NFL of all time, you might think of 1972 Dolphins, or maybe the 1985 Chicago Bears, or the 2007 New England Patriots. But as good as those teams were, to find a team that literally turned the world upside down, you have to go back almost 2,000 years ago to a small Middle Eastern fishing village along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So let me just kind of set this scene for us. Jesus is 30 years old. He's at the beginning of his public ministry. He had a mission, and he had only 3 years to complete it. His mission was to redeem a lost and dying world. But even Jesus, the Son of God, he needed a team that would carry on his mission once he was gone, to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the ends of the earth. So Jesus began to be put this team together that would eventually turn the world upside down. And so in your notes, you have Mark chapter 3. He names his main 12 disciples. And looking at these disciples, they weren't exactly a cast of all stars. I mean, Jesus didn't have Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady on his team. He kind of created this team of misfits. There were four fishermen, a tax collector that wasn't well-liked, a zealot that probably was a little challenging to keep on track, and just a mishmash of other people. But Jesus used them as a team to have an incredible impact. You know, together they really did turn the known world upside down. Yeah, sometimes we could be described as just the bunch of mishmash people, misfits. But God wants to use us to make an impact as well. So just as Jesus needed a team, we need people in our lives who will be on our team. We need people who are going to challenge us, encourage us, who will lock arms with us when we're struggling, and those who will pray for us. And you may not know this, but you've got the potential of a really great team all around you here this morning. Potential teammates who are going to help you win at life and fulfill God's desires for your life. We're going to help you make this impact that God wants to make in the world around you. And so if Jesus' impact team was his 12 disciples, who might be on your team? And so I just want to kind of start broadly, and then we'll kind of move it down, narrow it down a little bit. So who could be on my impact team? Well, just the first group would be to look at is just all believers, all followers of Jesus. Every follower of Jesus is a potential part of your impact team. All of us. There's another Christian at your workplace. If there's a Christian in your classroom or in your neighborhood, that person could be on your team because we're all working towards the same goal. There are over 2 billion Christians all around the world, many of them meeting in their local churches right now like we are. That's quite a team, and one that together can have a huge impact. But who could be on your impact team? Well, any followers of Jesus. The next is my church family right here. My church family could be on my team. You're probably not going to know very many of the 2 billion Christians in the world, and so God has given us the church, our local church family, that can be a key part of our impact team. And so the people who you see around you this morning, any of them could be a part of your team. We all need each other. You know, we'll never be everything that God wants us to be as a church without you. You make us better. And then third, it could be my growth group. Your growth group could be a part of your team, your small group that you're a part of. If everyone who's connected to our church would show up on one Sunday, we'd have well over 100 people here. All right? You know, you can know who 100 people are. You can know who they look like and what they do for a living. You probably could know if they're retired or if they're going to school, but you really can't be close friends with 100 people. There's just not enough time on Sunday for you to have a deep conversation with 100 different people, right? That's why growth groups or smaller groups of 10 to 15 people, why they're so important for us. Because you really get to know people in this setting. And then the final area would be my godly friends. Okay, these are my closest friends, the ones that you have found that you can rely on, the ones that you can confide in. If you want to live life at the highest level, if you want to live a life that will have an impact for God, you need a godly team around you. And really, the story of Christianity is a story of teams. It started with Jesus and his disciples, and it continues today with men and women and children who are sharing Jesus' love and making an impact together as the church all around the world. But see, church can really be like a football game. Because when you watch a football game on TV, this is what you see. 22 players locked in battle on the field, desperately in need of rest. and 92,000 people sitting in the stands watching them, desperately in need of some exercise. That's what a football game is, right? And to be honest, sometimes the church is kind of like that. You've got a group of people in the church who are just actively engaged, and they're having an impact, and they're serving, and they're giving, and they're inviting their friends, and they're making a real difference. Then we have another group, often a larger group, that's kind of just sort of disengaged. Yes, you attend church on Sunday when you're able to, but you just kind of tend to keep church at arm's distance. Not really engaged, you know. You're not really making an impact through the church family. But to make the maximum impact that we can make for God, one of the steps that's important is for us to engage with my church family. I'm a part of a team now. A part of something that's bigger than myself and that means something important to me. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. You know, if you're taking notes, circle that word, devoted. They were devoted. The church in the first century had an incredible impact on spreading the good news about Jesus and God's love all over the world. And they had that impact because they were truly devoted to it. They were devoted to one another. They were devoted to the teaching of God's word. They were committed. They were fully engaged with it. And the same needs to be true of us today. Our church will only be as strong as our members are. Our impact on our community, whether it's sharing Christ with those who don't know Him or helping those in need or teaching the next generation about the love of Jesus, our impact will only be as deep as the commitment that we have to one another and the commitment to our mission as a church to make disciples of Christ. And so all of you who are fully engaged members here at Living Water, thank you for all the things that you do and your dedication to our church. I see you here each week. Your devotion and commitment to God truly is inspiring to me. It really blows me away. You do a great job of serving, of inviting friends, of giving faithfully. You have a hand in the life change that happens each and every week here. And thank you for making an impact that way. And if you're not a member yet, I want to invite you to be a part of our family called Living Water. And here's the thing. You know, if you want to be on the Detroit Lions, it's going to be kind of difficult to get there. I mean, first you got to be drafted, and then you got to be one of the best in the world at your position. Only a few people get to be a part of an NFL team, but you don't have to be drafted. And you certainly don't have to be perfect to be on our team here at Living Water. I mean, we're a group of imperfect people who are doing our very best each week, striving to live the life that God has given to us, to live out the love of Christ with other people. And we would love for you to join us. Unless that is if you're perfect. If you're perfect already, don't join us because you'll mess it up for the rest of us. But if you have that challenge of being imperfect, we would love for you to be a part of our church family here and serving others in this family where you say, this is my church, this is my home, I'm committed, put me in, coach, I want to have an impact. And so if you'd like to find more out about what the Living Water Church believes, you know, how you can get more involved here as a church member, I'd like to invite you to the next discovery class. If you take out that connect card that you have in your message notes, the second next step says the RSVP for the Discovery class on Tuesday night, October 28th, 7 p.m. And if you come to that, we'll pull back the curtain. We'll share everything we can about our church, our history, our mission, our core values. And then you can decide whether or not you want to take that step and be a part of our team. And so you might ask, well, why is church membership so important? Well, because to be a follower of Jesus is to be a member of His team, the church. In fact, Paul describes the church as the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, he says, we are many parts of one body. So think about that. If you're gifted to be a hand, but you're not a part of the body, what good is that hand to the body? right? It's really of no use. The body needs you to be a part of it so that the hand can be of use. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So to make an eternal impact with your team, I first choose to fully engage with your church family. Then the second thing is I commit to grow with my church family. I commit to grow. Right? So here's what I know about the players who play in professional sports. If they're still playing, it's because every year they're getting better. They're getting stronger, smarter at their position. They aren't the same players they were 5 years ago. Practicing with their team each week has made them better individual players. And the same is true for us as well. I mean, does anyone really want to be the same person next year that you are today in October? I mean, do you want to not grow? Do you want to not improve or not progress? I mean, how many of us want to be just stale and stagnant in our faith? Right? No one does. And that's why we need a team. We need other people around us. And one of the purposes of a church family is to help you grow in your faith, to help you become more like Jesus, to push you, to challenge you, to nudge you, to get out of your comfort zone and to help you reach your God-given potential. Well, how does that happen? Well, let's look at the early church. What the early church did, Acts 2, verse 46. It's our key verse this week. In fact, let's just go ahead and read this verse out loud together. Starts with those words, they worship. See where it is up there? Let's read that. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. I think this is the key to spiritual growth. And if you're taking notes, underline that phrase, worship together at the temple. The early church worshiped together each week as a larger group. That's what we're doing right now. Every Sunday, we come together as a larger group. We connect with each other. We connect with God. We sing. We hear the message preached. We take some notes. We commit to taking some next steps. Hopefully, it's a meaningful experience, and you sense God's presence and all that. But more than that, I hope each week that you grow in your faith. You become more and more like Christ. Going back to Acts 2:46. Underline one more thing. Underline those three words, they met in homes. Okay, coming together on Sunday like we are, it's important, but it's not really enough. It's also important to get together with a smaller group of Christians where you can have fun and you can make godly friends and discuss topics from the Bible and how to apply that to your life. Living Water, we call those growth groups, small groups. And I believe that when you have a commitment to being here on Sunday and then you're also being a part of a growth group, that's when you find that your faith really starts to come alive. You begin to develop godly friendships and your stress starts to go down, your hope starts to go up, your purpose in life begins to become more clear, and you really begin to live a life where you're impacting others. Why is taking a step of getting into a growth group so important? Well, here's why I think it is. The challenge we face is that our spiritual growth doesn't just happen. It's not automatic. You don't automatically become stronger in your faith, okay? Growth is a continual process that we have to participate in. We don't just automatically become like Jesus. You got to decide to take some right steps. You got to decide to surround yourself with some godly people, to be on a team. And so that's where growth begins to happen. That's why I think being part of a growth group is so integral to our faith, to the impact that you can make for God. And when you sign up for a growth group, you know that you're going to have these 10 to 15 people that you're meeting with each week, and it's not a lifetime commitment. You're committing for a short time for that one subject that they're doing at that time. But it just makes such a big difference in our life. And that leads to our maximum impact action step for today. Every week during the series, we have a maximum impact action step that helps us to apply the message. And the first week when we were doing it, you know, a couple weeks ago, it was to be sure you dedicated your life to God. You know, the second week it was to find a community service opportunity and use your talents to volunteer there. Well, today, the maximum impact for today is to volunteer with one of our Living Water teams and or join a growth group today. That's the maximum impact for your spiritual growth. It's to take that step today to choose to grow spiritually, I hope you'll volunteer with one of our teams or you'll join a growth group. And in your notes, I have this extra paper that we don't usually have. And we just kind of went over all of this on Rally Day. This is the last time we'll talk about these as we're putting teams together for 2026. But this just kind of lists all the growth groups we have right now and the teams that you could possibly be a part of. Okay? And so right now, the growth groups, as I mentioned, we have our adult growth group that has started a couple weeks ago, and they're going through the Chosen Series 5. And you could be a part of that even now. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be starting the youth group up, and when the young adult group is going to be starting up. And that's a couple more growth groups that you could be a part of that's going to meet on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And I would love for us to have a few more options of growth groups that meet at someone's home. You know, if you'd like to offer your home or if you'd like to lead a group, you know, let me know that. Put that on the connect card and I'll connect with you this week and we'll begin talking about that possibility of starting other growth groups. And then we have our volunteer opportunities with one of our ministry teams. All our ministry teams are listed in a description of what the team does. You know, God has, I believe, some big plans for us at Living Water for 2026. He's beginning to show us some interesting possibilities that He is drawing us to get into. But we'll never be able to accomplish all of it without each of you. And so if you'd like to have more information about a particular team, feel free to reach out to me or one of the team leaders. And I'd really like to get to a place where everybody from our church is on at least one team. And where most of our church is a part of some type of a growth group. Now, I really believe it's important for us. It's important for you. It's important for our church family. It's important for us in us carrying out our mission that God's given to our church to be the light of Christ in our community. All right, to make an impact with my team, I engage with my church family. I grow with my family. And then to make an impact with my team, I faithfully care for my church family. I faithfully care. A big part of being on a team is that you care for your teammates, and they care for you. A good team is in it together. And I'm not just in it for myself. When you win, I win. And when you lose, I'm right there hurting right alongside of you. So when one of us is struggling, we step in and we look out for each other. We help one another. We faithfully care for one another. And the first century church really understood this. Back in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, it says, "And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need." You know, when I read this, I think, wow, they really cared for each other. They really sacrificed to help meet each other's needs. And it's another reason why it's so important to be in a small group. Whether it's a ministry team like the Praise Band or it's one of the growth groups, because you really get to know each other so much better. And then we can find out about needs that are there that we wouldn't know any other way. And we can find out about a financial need and maybe we can meet that, or an unemployment need or an emotional support need. And when you're in a group, sometimes you are the front line of care for our church. Sometimes you know about a need before the church knows about it. When someone in our church loses a loved one or has a health crisis or faces a financial crisis, maybe they lose a job or they go through a breakup and lose an important relationship, then you can have this impact on that person and you can respond personally to those people who are part of your group. And one day it might just be you who needs that help. And you'll have this team of first responders who are around you already who can care for you as well. So to make an eternal impact with my team, I engage with my church, I commit to grow, I faithfully care, and then finally, I make a difference then with my church family. And today we've been talking about how we need this team to make the greatest possible difference. As one person, you can have an impact, but when we work together as a team, our impact is even greater, and the results can be more impactful, and there's so much more we can accomplish with God together. Our next verse shows what happens when the church is making a difference together. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says, "And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." When a church family begins to make an internal impact on its community, people's eternity is impacted. And that is the why. Why do I engage? Why do I volunteer? Why do I take the time to be in a ministry team? I mean, why do I take the time to be in a growth group? It's so much easier not to commit. It's way easier just to stay home and watch TV. Why be inconvenienced? So that God can add to our church family those who are being saved. That's why. So our key verse for this series has been Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And what's interesting is when Jesus spoke these words, he wasn't talking to an individual. He was talking to his team of followers. And I think he's speaking these same words to us, to our church. He says, "You are the light of the world. You 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 are the light of the world." In fact, say to the person next to you, "You are the light of the world." So make sure everyone understands this concept that it's not just the pastor. It's not just the leaders. We are the light of the world. And so as we wrap up, let me just ask you that question. Are you being the light of the world? Are you letting God put you on that lampstand to shine for our community to see? Not the Holy Spirit's been nudging you to get more involved at church. That's what this is all about. It's about shining God's light. It's about catching God's holy fire and keeping that flame burning. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 tells us the danger of letting that fire go out. Where it says, "I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." God is not a fan of average, of going easy, of putting in just enough to get by, of drifting into the finish line of eternity, of being a part of a church family, but of refusing to commit to anything, just in case something else better comes along. That is the very definition of being lukewarm. God wants to spiritually set you on fire. He wants you to be a light in a world that's a very dark and hurtful place. Right? He wants you to be so on fire that people will be drawn to watch you burn for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that if you're talking to any of us individually about a next step that we need to take, that you would just amplify that voice. It is just really easy to let the Spirit speak and then ignore it and move on with our day. May we be able to settle in to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to us. Where the Holy Spirit might be moving or prodding or stretching us. Father, we come before you today knowing that you didn't create us just to take up space. You didn't create us just to breathe oxygen and to make it through life, just to survive, just to use up resources. God, you created us to have an impact. You want us to be the light of the world. Forgive us when we become too inwardly focused. Forgive us when we don't do the things that we should be doing as individuals or even as a church. Father, we want to have an impact in this world for you. We want to be your light in a world that can be so lost without it, totally blind to its need of it. Help us to do that. And Father, we can't do it on ourselves, just by us alone. We truly do need a team around us. And I know there may be someone here this morning who just came to this worship service carrying some difficult baggage. Someone maybe that's dealing with loneliness or Maybe you're just feeling like you're drowning in depression. And maybe you're struggling because of a broken relationship, or you're facing a financial crisis or a health crisis. God, there are a lot of things that can weigh us down as we come before you today. But today we declare that you are God and we are not. And we turn these things over to you even in this moment. We trust you with them. Empower us to be your light even in the darkness of our society today. And I want to pray for anyone who needs to experience your love and your peace and your presence today. Maybe they don't know you yet, or maybe they just kind of drifted away in the busyness of life, and they need to reconnect with you. And I pray that today, that if there's someone who's just sensing that this is the day they need to do some work with you, that they would open their life to you, that they would in this moment right now receive your light into their life, that they'd receive your peace, presence, and power, they'd receive the eternal life that you are offering us, that only can come through Jesus Christ. Father, we trust you with all of that, and we pray that we would walk in the light that the Holy Spirit gives us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.